Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the H&R Engine Block Center here for tax preparation at Car Talk Plaza. Now, I just found out that Paul Merkey of Merkey Research, who hasn't done anything for like 5 years, is taking an aggressive stance against the IRS this year.
I'm with him.
Well, first thing
he does, I'm with him.
He's tried a series of unusual deductions. He saw that you could deduct your gambling losses. So he figured if you could deduct money you lost due to your own stupidity, he figured he'd deduct the $400 he paid us last year for that brake job he didn't need.
That's number one, right? That's gambling.
Then he figured he'd take it a step further and he deducted all the money he spent on dates that never went anywhere. That's when he lost to stupidity, right?
Exactly.
Well, he still owed the money. So to make sure he got a refund, he deducted an extra $30,000 because he works for us. He figures if he weren't so stupid, he'd get a real job and make more money. So that's also a loss due to stupidity.
That's line 12, isn't it?
I think so. Actually, well, I did want to mention, we do have a new product we're offering for a limited time only. Tax Preparation H, for that itchy feeling you get from sitting around filling out all those forms.
Yeah, excellent.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, why not?
Why not? While we're on the subject of craziness, I have here, who sent us this? This is sent by Tom Moyer from, he doesn't say where he's from. He doesn't want us to know where he's from.
Are these sagacious comments from that famous receiver?
The famous receiver, Yogi Berra. I'll just give you a few. You know, why did they lose the World Series to the Pittsburgh Pirates? We made too many wrong mistakes. His theory on baseball, a thinking man's game. Here's what he said. 90% of the game is half mental.
Well known by
Wait,
all.
Let me give you just a couple. We know about Coney Island. Nobody goes there anymore because it's too crowded. We know that. When someone asks him for the correct time, he says, "You mean now?" He was arguing with an umpire that a drive to the outfield hit the concrete and should have been a home run instead of a double. And he says, "Anyone who can't hear the difference between a ball hitting wood and a ball hitting concrete must be blind."
And what was the one about his son?
Oh, yeah. Son Larry answers the doorbell. And he says, "There's a man there for the Venetian blind." And he says, "Well, give him a couple of bucks for a donation and get rid of him."
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mayor.
Who?
Mayor, like the old gray mayor.
Mayor?
Mayor.
No,
that's
kidding.
That's good enough.
Where are you from, Mayor?
Milburn.
Milburn what?
New Jersey.
Oh, of course.
We should have known that. Don't you know there's a Milburn in every state in the United States? What's up?
Well, please promise not to laugh too hard.
No, we won't.
Okay, good. Promise?
I'm warming up already.
Well, look, this is a silly problem, but it's serious.
Yeah.
When my husband took the car into the gas station to get gas, I asked him to get air in the tires. And he did get air in the tires, but he made a mistake, and he put 90 pounds in the tires.
Oh, fine.
Wow.
She said don't laugh.
I told you, don't laugh.
She asked. You noticed that I acceded to your request, Mayor. But my rude
and
brother.
And I couldn't help myself.
When he brought the car home, I knew something terrible had happened because...
Wait a minute. You're calling from the train station?
The car was on its tippy toes in the garage, and I was really worried. And I asked him what he had done, and he said that he really forgot... when he was at the gas station, he was preoccupied, and he put in 90 pounds because that's what we had put in the bicycles the week before. You laughed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, see, now what I need to know is we finally got the air out of the tires. I was scared. I ran out of the house, and I made my husband let the air out of the tires.
Didn't he notice something when he left the gas station? I mean, like every pebble he hit, the car jumped 2 or 3 feet into the air?
Well, you know, funny you should say that, because he did say he had a very hard time holding the car on the road on his way home.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what was his first clue that something was wrong?
He had a clue until I screamed.
But how did the information come out that he had, in fact,
No, when Mary saw the car in the garage.
I went down to the garage.
The roof of the car was scraping on the ceiling.
There was a little bit of tire hitting the garage floor. I was a little bit nervous, and I went running back upstairs, and then I ran out of the house because I was sure it was all going to blow up.
And what did you say? Did you say, how much air did you put in those tires? I mean, were you calm about it, or did you rant and rave like my wife would have done?
I said, well, let's go outside and talk about this. Because I really thought that the heat that, you know, from driving home would have caused the tires eventually to blow up. I thought they were going to blow up any minute.
Well, you're right. I mean, left on vacation and taken your four-hour ride to grandmother's house, then the tires would certainly have blown.
Yeah, but now
they could have blown up.
Now they're back to normal.
Yeah. And I know your question.
The question is, did you do any harm by overinflating them like that?
What I want to know is, should I throw those four tires out and get new tires?
No, throw your husband out.
No, I can't do that.
No.
Now listen, the two tires on the back were brand new in the fall, and they cost a lot of money, and I didn't want to throw them out if I don't have to.
And you didn't want to call the
four new tires.
You didn't want to call the dealer because he'd tell you ruined them and you'd have to come in and buy more. That's you were afraid that he'd lie.
I didn't want to call them.
Of course, you can never trust anyone who has a vested interest.
Well, right. So you don't have a vested interest. So do I continue?
No, but we don't have a clue either.
I figured that they didn't blow up yet.
Yeah, that's always the.
They won't, or have I ruined them forever, or how much life do they have, or how much of their life did I decrease? Do I have 2 hours left on those tires, or? You know, what's the story?
No, I mean, we don't. The answer is we don't know. It's very.
What did you say? I don't know.
Yeah, you have stumped the chumps. You'll get your baseball hat. Don't worry.
Well, our lawyers have advised us in situations like this where personal liability claims might arise that we should say we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to tell you that they're all right and then have the thing blow up because the truth is, I don't know the answer to this. If it were my car, I would just take the air out and keep driving. But I'm a dummy. I mean, I don't know that I would suggest that my wife do that, so I'm not going to suggest that you do that either. I mean, I would definitely call the tire dealer and ask them.
Or should I just throw out the four wheels and start up?
Mayor,
can we repeat?
Read my lips. We don't know.
But what would you do?
I would call. Well, what I do, I'd immediately offer to give those tires to my brother.
Probably as a birthday present.
Right. Tommy, I've got four.
I got a deal. I know they're the wrong size.
But we'll make them fit.
No, I got this adapter kit. We put this glue.
You need to call the factory and talk to an engineer.
Okay.
And they will give you the straight dope. I mean, because first of all, they don't want to be responsible for taking your life either. And
I know.
And they're not. They have no interest really in selling you. They already sold you tires. And if you die, they're not going to sell you anymore.
That's right. So they have a vested interest in having you live.
Okay.
Get it checked out.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Okay.
Bye bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, it's Richie D'Amato calling you from Ashland, Oregon.
Richie.
Richie.
How are you?
From Ashland what?
Oregon.
Ashland, Oregon.
There's something in Ashland that for some reason.
Known for the Shakespeare Festival.
Well, the Shakespeare Festival.
The Shakespeare Festival, yep.
Do you know that Shakespeare was Italian?
Of course he was Italian. Everybody was Italian.
Oh, man.
No, no.
Well, all right.
Evidently,
no.
There's some Sicilian historian that has has proof that Shakespeare, okay,
yeah.
Whose real name was Getalancia, throw a spear, was really Italian and emigrated from Sicily where there was some kind of political turmoil and moved in with relatives, Guido and and whomever,
yeah,
in England,
yeah,
and of course learned English in the process. But he was, and that's why
learned it so well that he wrote.
No, but
he wrote them all in Italian. Oh,
and Father Guido Sarducci translated them. But you'll come to realize that in the coming months, when the truth comes out that he really was Italian. Well, you know, yeah. I mean, John Cabot, who the English claim is one of their famous explorers, of course, you know, was Italian too.
Oh, that's right.
He's right. His name was Giovanni Cabotto. See,
he's
laughing.
He's
laughing. All right, you'll stop laughing.
I can see it now. If we think of all the Shakespearean plays, if you translate them into Italian.
Well, Merchant of Venice.
Merchant of Venice.
Like, for example, which play would be What's the Matter for You? Much ado about nothing.
I do.
Yeah, much ado about nothing. You got a problem with that? I love it.
Well,
Richie, thanks for telling us,
Richie,
that.
Richie, someday you'll be at the dentist waiting to get your molars drilled out, and you'll pick up an old copy of Time or Newsweek, and you'll see a little story in there that will corroborate this entire conversation. So just remember us when you come across it.
Okay.
Anyway, it's been great talking to you, Richie.
Hey, take care.
Yeah, so what do you want to talk about?
Well, here's what I got. I have a Ford pickup. It's an F-350, and it's got the Power Stroke diesel in it.
Whoa. Man, you're a real man.
Man,
do you have hair growing on your back? Because that's a sign of
my ears, too, these days.
Wow, an F-350. Wow.
Now, I got 35,000 miles on the truck right now.
Mm-hmm.
And up until 27,000 miles, I never burned a drop of oil in the truck. Changed the oil every 3,000. Everything was great. Of course, I couldn't leave well enough alone, so I decided that I was going to install a remote dual filtration system with synthetic oil, because this sounded like, you know, you'd never have to change the oil. It filters down to 1 micron, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, what, are you retired?
No. I just thought it would be a good idea.
Sure, and you had a weekend that you had nothing to do.
Yep.
And we know that you're that kind of meddling type because you bought a diesel in the first place.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't leave well. I mean, everyone else is happy burning gasoline. Not Richie.
Well, I carry a lot of groceries.
I was going to say, you really don't have any good reason to have a diesel, do you?
Absolutely none.
I don't think so.
Right.
Absolutely
none. All right. So it's burning oil to the tune of how much?
So it's burning oil now to the tune of a quart every 1,500 miles. And in addition to that, it stinks. I mean, it's blowing out a real acrid, strong odor, which you know, of course it had some, but now it's unbearable. And it also blows a lot of smoke under acceleration, which it never did before.
Really?
So, yeah. So, you know, I called the guy who installed the system. I didn't do it myself. And he says, his response to me was, engines are like people. You know, every engine's different. I don't know what to tell you. Click.
Click.
That was his response.
The click.
Yeah,
the click
was
the most.
Well, what viscosity synthetic oil are you using?
I'm using 5W40.
Jeez, you know, I found, I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to make something up. I have found that the synthetic oils, even though they say they're 540 or whatever, are thinner than, I mean, that's one of the ways that they get improved mileage and all that stuff that they claim, because they're less viscous.
Right.
They create less drag between the crankshaft and its bearings. And
so that's easy to do. You just put different numbers on the can. Right. So how they do it?
So what I think is happening here, and I would be willing to bet that all of it is related to the synthetic oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I would switch back.
Switch back.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you've already wrecked the engine, maybe.
Well, I've got 1,000 miles left in warranty.
I'll tell you, the second you drive in with that howdy doody oil filtration system,
forget
it.
They're going to void your warranty. They're going to send an email to every Ford dealership on the planet. It says when Richie comes in,
throw him out.
His warranty is void.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, anything you do like that voids the warranty. You've got to make sure you have quick disconnect couplings on all those things so you can whip that stuff right off, go in for your service, and then put it right back on in the parking lot. You know, so at this point, I think your only hope is to switch back to natural oil and whatever they call for in the book. And I'd be willing to bet that the consumption will diminish considerably.
Mm-hmm.
And the stink will go away. You can leave the filtration system. I don't think that hurts anything.
Okay.
But I'd get rid of the synthetic oil.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason that you need to use synthetic oil just because you have this remote dual filtration system, whatever the heck that is.
No, you thought you were going to get, I mean, those oil changes come up awful fast and furious.
Yeah, but see, that was the attraction of the synthetic, because what they recommend is that you don't actually ever change the oil.
Right. Yeah, I think
that
may be okay for a gas engine, but diesel engines really punish the motor oil.
Mm-hmm.
And
you fell prey, I'm sorry to say, to not having listened to Delbert Joyner's grandfather.
Oh.
Right.
Who?
The stingy man who spends the most. Because you tried to save a few bucks on oil, which what does it cost? 90 cents a quart?
We don't know who Delbert Joyner is, nor have we ever met him. But this is one of those, you know, pieces of folklore that we got from a friend of Delbert, who when asked to carry in a load of firewood by his grandfather, tried to load 20 pieces in his arms and walk from the woodpile to the house. And in doing so, managed at one time or another to drop each one of the 20 pieces. And when he finally reached the house after this half-hour odyssey, his grandfather said, you know, you could have carried a few pieces at a time in. It is the lazy man who works the hardest.
I can empathize with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get rid of that synthetic oil, Richie, and your problems will go away.
All right.
Now, we know we're going to get a lot of nasty mail from all the synthetic oil manufacturers, but we get lots of nasty mail from everybody. So what do we care?
Doesn't bother us.
Doesn't bother us at all.
It doesn't bother me because the synthetic oil is $7.95 a quart.
Stick with the dollar a quart stuff. See you, Richie.
Take care. Bye. Thanks a lot.
All right, Tommy, do you remember anything about last week's puzzler?
Give me a hint. Any hint. Just help me out.
Okay, it had to do with a palm tree-covered Pacific island.
Oh, I like it already.
And a raging inferno chasing your butt into shark-infested waters. And I'll have the answer in just a minute.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
An oversized load on a curvy mountain road. I'd really love to pass you, but I'm moving like a toad. With my pedal to the floor, it's as fast as she can go. A little gutless wonder on a curvy mountain. Is like a tortoise, steady, slow, and sure. And she doesn't mind her nickname, the little gutless wonder. With a putt-putt up the hill and a yaw going down. People honk and wave when we coast in town. An oversized load on a curvy mountain road. Really love to pass you, but I'm moving like a toad. With my pedal to the metal, it's as fast as she can go. My little gutless wonder.
And even though Charles Darwin wonders, how did these guys survive, whatever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, you know I'm pretty good at giving lousy car advice, right? But did you also know that I'm a financial planner? Well, actually, I'm not. And the 71,000 certified financial planner professionals who sponsor this podcast want you to remember that just about anyone can call him or herself a financial planner. Don't be fooled by chumps like me. Work with a certified financial planner who's been properly vetted to uphold the highest standard in education and experience and is required to put your interests above their own. What a concept, huh? Visit letsmakeaplan.org and find a CFP pro near you. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
You are kidnapped and unceremoniously dumped on a deserted island in the Pacific. Now, this island is 10 miles long, but the dimensions don't really matter that much, and about 100 yards wide, and is completely covered with grass and palm trees.
Mm. I love it.
Your captors have been nice enough to give you a few things to assist you in surviving. They've given you a case of San Pellegrino water, a life-size poster of Ginger Grant, the flashlight, a box of matches, and a space blanket.
Yeah.
The first day you walk around the island and you realize that there's no chance of escape. The island is a sheer drop-off all around, 500 feet onto sharp rocks, and worse than that, shark-infested waters.
Oh.
So you go to sleep the first night and you're awakened by the loud clash of thunder and the bright flash of lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Ha! You realize that lightning has struck the far end of the island about 5 miles away from you. You're in the middle of the island, and the lightning has set the grass and palm trees on fire. And as luck would have it, there's breeze blowing. There's a breeze blowing from the fire toward you. So you're what?
You're in a lot of trouble.
You're done for. It's pushing the flames in your direction at a rate of, say, 2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So if you run to the other end of the island, you got 5 hours until it reaches you, and you know that everything on the island is going to be toasted, including you, unless you think quick.
Yeah.
And don't forget what you got. You got a flashlight.
Let me get a look at that list.
Let's go back to the list. What do you
got? A life-size poster of Ginger Grant.
Right.
A flashlight.
Right.
A box of matches.
A lot of good they're going to do. The island's already on fire, right?
And a space blanket.
Space. and a case of San Pellegrino.
How big is the case? Is it like 1,000 gallons?
No, it's a, what's a case? Bottles. 6, 8, 12 bottles?
Yeah, okay.
You could douse yourself with the San Pellegrino, right?
Yeah. No, that's not going to last
long.
That's
not going to work. No, you'll be burned up.
You could douse the space blanket, but it won't absorb any of the water because it's what? Space blanket.
Right. You could cover yourself with the space blanket and hope that the trees leave enough oxygen behind for you to breathe.
You could do all those things.
However, you save yourself with the matches. You turn around with your back to the fire.
Yeah.
And you light on fire the grass in front of you. The same wind that's blowing that fire toward you is going to blow the new fire toward the end of the island and leave behind a place where there's nothing combustible.
Oh, man! This is great!
And you'll escape, but you'll only last 2 more days because there'll be nothing to eat on the island and you'll be dead. But you'll have gotten 2 more days!
And you would have won the puzzler.
That too. And every firefighter knows that this is a classic fire break.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, Ken Rogers said, as soon as you light that match, the wind changes direction.
And then you really does.
So who's our winner, Tommy?
Yeah, the winner is the guy on the island whose name is, Margaret Reynolds. That's a funny name for a guy. From Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And for having her answer selected at random from among those thousands of correct answers, our pal Margaret is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can buy any of the returned Car Talk merchandise that's been piling up here for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, man. And anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle coming up in the third half of the show today. It comes from the wonderful world of automotives and the Internet.
Oh, excellent.
So don't touch that dial. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Liz, and I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Liz.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not bad. Not much to say
good.
About Portland. I really don't know anything about it.
It's a nice place.
Portland.
Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
What's going on?
I'm going to be driving an 85 Chevy Blazer to Alaska in a couple weeks.
Oh, another one of those.
And the speedometer cable makes an awful squeak some of the time.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if I should pay to get it fixed, if I could fix it myself. They told me it was going to be 1.5 hours of labor at the shop to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the instrument cluster has to come out to replace the cable. However, you can have the thing lubricated.
Okay, that's what they said they might do.
Yeah.
I think.
There's a little gizmo they attach, and they can shoot some silicone lubricant in there.
And that might work.
Until you get to, like...
Alaska.
Right.
The Calcan Highway there. So you could try lubing it, or is that the only problem you're worried about?
Well, no. I mean, I'm going to be driving 2,500 miles, and so it seems like...
All right, let's get down to the important stuff.
Okay.
Why are you going to Alaska?
For a job and for a boy.
A fella. I knew there was a fella involved.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And how long you plan to stay there forever?
No. We'll be back here in the fall. I'll be starting graduate school in Corvallis in the fall.
Oh, you will? Oh,
yes.
So this is just a little jaunt.
Yes.
Oh, so you're going to pick him up, so to speak. You're going to bring him back.
No,
he was
she already
here.
Picked him up.
He just flew up there, and then we'll be up there for the summer, and I'll come back and start school, and then he'll come back.
And so he's working up there.
Yeah.
So you're going to spend your summer, like, fishing and swatting flies and just generally frolicking?
No, actually working for an outdoor school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what are you going to study in graduate school in Corvallis when you get back?
Environmental statistics.
Wow. Ooh, ooh, ooh,
oh, well, Alaska's a good place to go then. You're on the right track.
It's kind of out of the way. But...
I mean, have you had someone check it out? I mean, seriously, for a minute here. If you're really going to get in this thing and drive 2,500 miles by yourself.
My mother is coming with me.
Your mother is coming with you. All the more reason.
And I have an appointment in a couple days.
To do what?
To just get it checked out. Is there anything in particular you think I should have them look at?
Everything.
They have to look at everything. I mean, unfortunately, it's too late for you to buy our $3 little pamphlet, which would have told you everything. But we have a list of all the stuff that ought to get checked out. And you ought to tell whoever is checking it out, make believe that this was a used car that I'm planning to buy, and check out everything and let me know how close it is to falling apart.
Right.
I would recommend that you change all the belts and hoses.
Okay.
And save the old ones.
Okay, that's what I was thinking about doing.
Yeah, make sure you got good tires. Make sure that the front end is good and tight and no loose ball joints or tie rod ends, stuff like that.
I don't think it'll be too bad. This time of year, it's not
as
bad as...
The roads are heavily traveled, too, this time of year.
So. Not like the summer. It won't be RV.
All the people trying to escape.
Right, they'll all be going the other way.
You'll see a lot of traffic heading south because they just got unburied from 25 feet of snow. You'll see people on their hands and knees.
Right, crying out, mild winter, my butt!
Well, good luck, Liz.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Drive carefully.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, do you know what it's time for?
Time to try and convince the IRS that bribing the FCC is a legitimate business expense?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. Well, every once in a while, we let a previous caller back onto the show to find out whether our advice was good, bad, awful, horrendous, libelous, or whatever.
So who's this week's contestant?
This week's contestant is Mary from Wisconsin. Remember Mary? No, you don't.
What,
I'm supposed to
remember everything? I don't remember Mary.
I don't either. It says here, Mary called us several months ago because she had purchased a 65 Ford Galaxy, sight unseen, and then found out it had a little problem.
Unless the car's really warmed up very well, I can't get it into gear.
It's an automatic?
Yes. And when I go to leave for work in the morning, sometimes I go to put it in reverse and it won't pop into gear.
The shifter moves, right?
The shift moves.
But nothing happens.
But then you have to floor it and then it will go into gear. But it doesn't happen all the time.
It's perfectly normal.
Well, I suppose, you know, we all have our...
Yeah. That's how they ran in 65, too.
Have you had a lot of guys looking at you when you're driving this car?
Uh-huh.
Now, that's why you got it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an accessory.
Hey, I should think of my car as an accessory, don't you
think? Yeah, an accessory to a crime. So anyway, what did we tell Mary? I don't remember.
Well, you played bad cop, I played good cop. I suggested maybe she just needed to put transmission fluid and a filter in the automatic transmission. It would be okay.
Oh, yeah.
And you were the bad guy, as you usually are, and you told her transmission was schwavot.
Well, let's see how we did. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
No, we have not.
And the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced in any way by our staff, the guys in the black coats who came to visit you the other day, up at the gift certificate to Pappy's Old Time Transmission Repair Shop and Denture Sanding Salon that we sent to you? Okay,
Nope. Great.
Well, so what happened? Did you need a new transmission?
Well, I took your advice, and I went and had the transmission fluid changed, but not before I went to the second opinion site.
Oh, you went to our website?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And a couple of people left emails for me saying that I needed F-type transmission fluid.
Yes. Type F, yes.
That's right.
And so I put in F-type transmission fluid, and this car is the greatest car I've ever owned.
It fixed it?
Yep.
You mean my brother was right?
He was.
Oh, my.
You got to give him credit every once in a
while. Every once in a while, yeah. Well, that's great, because that was pretty cheap.
Yes, it was. And I'm really glad it wasn't a transmission because I would have been very depressed. This is the first car I've ever purchased on my own.
Great.
Yeah, well, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I know.
And everything's working?
Uh-huh.
How about the accessory option? A lot of dates?
No.
No, that part's not working.
I think it's a little intimidating. People want to drag race.
Yeah, because I think the guys think you're a gearhead.
Right.
Yeah, you need to leave your pocketbook on the dashboard.
No, well, I have the fuzzy dice and I have the hula dancer.
Oh, well, you have the hula dancer. That might do it. Well, you just have a mumped into a guy with the right kind of sense of humor. But
right, you need a nice parolee who went in like 1969 and doesn't remember anything except these cars.
Mary, thank you so much for being on Stump the Chumps.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you happen to hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, you can email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Or if you want to stump us right now, call 888-CAR-TALK, 822-8725-8257.
007.
Right.
007.
007-825-8257. 888-227-8255.
007.
555. Yes. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Scott. I'm from Chino, California.
Hi, Scott.
I'll give you a nickel if you can repeat the phone number.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm thoroughly baffled. I was over here ciphering. That's why there was a pause on the phone.
What did you say your name was?
Scott from
Scott.
Chino.
Oh, Scott. I was so enamored of the name Chino.
Chino.
So what's up, man?
Well, I have a question for you guys that hopefully you'll be able to resolve this. I have an uncle who we will call Uncle Know-It-All.
Uncle Know-It-All.
Can we refer to him as UK?
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, Uncle Know-It-All has a late model Ford Thunderbird, and at about 45,000 miles, the transmission goes out.
Ooh.
On this Thunderbird.
Oh, wasn't that poetic justice, huh?
Yeah. So I'm driving a 96 Ford Mustang. Uncle Know-It-All tells me, and I'm not sure where he gets this information, but he tells me anytime I'm not on the freeway, I need to be driving that car with the overdrive off, because when you're doing city driving, the strain of the stop and go puts an undue stress on the torque converter, thus causing the transmission to go out early.
What does Uncle Know-It-All do for a living?
He's a doctor. He's a brain surgeon.
He's retired. He spends a lot of time gambling.
What did he do?
He was in the aerospace industry. He did something for.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, people tend to extrapolate from their limited knowledge of certain things.
Yeah,
we're guilty of that frequently.
And, oh, are we?
And Uncle Know-It-All certainly has done that in this case. I mean, he may have been a very well-respected and capable aerospace engineer. Did they offer him early retirement?
As a matter of fact, they did.
They did, eh?
Is he like 40? And they
a little older.
And they're paying him to not come to work anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. We'll pay you 70 grand a year to come, and we'll pay you 80 if you stay home. Well, no, he's wrong. First of all,
he's completely wrong. Absolutely, completely, unequivocally, without any question. There's no way for him to get out of it wrong. That's how wrong he is.
You know what? I'm going to dance a jig in celebration.
No, the only reason you would not want to be in overdrive around town is that it is somewhat annoying to have the thing do a shift from first to second, second to third, and third to fourth.
Mm.
So you'd have three shifts in there, or four shifts, so to speak. Mm. But that would be the only reason you'd take it out of that and put it in just D. I mean, for that matter, you could have it in second. If you never went more than 20 miles an hour, you'd be no need to go beyond second gear.
Oh, that's freeway speed here in Los Angeles.
Right.
That's right.
So other than that, the transmission doesn't care, the torque converter doesn't care, nor does it really know.
Okay.
And there's no extra wear and tear on anything by having it shift into overdrive around town. Now,
well, the thing is, if you're mostly driving at speeds like below 35 around town, it will never get into fourth gear, most vehicles. So whether you have it in D or D with the little box around it or whatever they call it on a Mustang, it will never get there if you don't exceed a minimum speed, which is usually like in the high 30s.
I gotcha. Okay.
Anything else he's come up with? I mean, obviously, this moniker, Uncle Know-It-All, didn't come about from this one little story.
Oh, no, no. It's a well-earned title over many years. Uh-huh. Many of which I couldn't share over the radio.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Well, you might have to write to us.
Now,
then.
Is he an uncle on your side or your wife's?
On my side.
On your side. Yeah. So you never ran into the situation, my uncle, I thought he was your uncle. It wasn't
right.
One of those deals.
No, no.
You know.
It flows through the bloodline.
It does.
Yeah.
And how do you think you are? Any feedback?
Well, I'm a skeptic, so that, you know, I got one up on him there.
Well, that's good.
How does your wife refer to you when she's talking to her friends?
Yeah, husband Know-It-All.
Husband Know-It-All. Thanks for calling.
See you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Oh, okay. Look, it's time for a break, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, our stations need to update you on some important information. You know, news, weather, traffic. price of viburnum at the local nurseries.
And we'll be back with more of your calls and a brand spanking new puzzler as soon as my brother comes up with one.
Which will be just a minute, so stay tuned.
Even though Martha Stewart flings a hand-painted Easter egg at her radio whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hi, this is Morning Edition co-host David Greene, and the truth is, I don't even like cars, with one exception, the cars you guys donate to us. Did you know that your old car can be turned into Morning Edition, all things considered, or Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me? Kind of makes you like cars, doesn't it? Turn your car into the programs you love. Here's how to do it.
For more information, visit the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program at cartalkvdp.com. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler, which I think I said was automotive. And internet related.
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact.
Well, I probably lied, but here it is anyway. And this suggestion came in. Actually, I used it almost verbatim with a few minor obfuscations.
Yeah.
Came in from Matt Curlin from Loveland, Ohio, and here it is. As my wife was backing her car out of our narrow garage, she accidentally grazed the door frame for the 20th time.
Wait, was that his or yours?
No, that's his.
The 20th time, okay.
She got out and walked around the car and inspected the passenger side for damage. This time, the mirror, the passenger side mirror in the frame, were shattered into pieces. The dealer wanted more than $500 to replace it, so she decided to look for a replacement on eBay.
Mm.
Miraculously, she found an entire passenger side mirror that was described in detail for her exact make and model and year, and even the same color, and it was less than a third of what the dealer wanted. And it looked easy enough to install. I mean, the frame of the garage had actually removed the old one.
Yeah.
You know, we could see that there were only a few screws holding it on, and we figured that we could, in fact, do it.
I can see it coming already.
She anxiously awaited the delivery, but when the package arrived 3 weeks later, I suspected she was in trouble. Sure enough, we opened it up and realized that there was no way that we could make it fit onto her car. My wife thought she could return the item, but when we rechecked the listing on eBay, the part description was precisely correct. Right down to the color and everything, nothing was wrong with the part.
But she couldn't return it.
It was the passenger side mirror. It was the right color, same model, same make.
Same year, everything.
Couldn't miss. And the question is, what went wrong? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the inside of a hand-woven, Brent Black, individually certified, genuine Monte Cristi plantation-style Panama hat, size 7 5/8.
3/8.
No. 7 and... 7 5/8, and send it to...
Make it 2, though.
All right, what size you want?
I want 7
you want 3/8, 4/8, or 5/8? 7 4/8.
3/8. I don't think 7 3/8 is my size, but I could make my head expand.
Oh, no, you can be anywhere from 6 7/8 to 7 5/8. Depends on when you get your hair cut.
I'll just wear it those last couple of months.
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But if you have a question right now and you can't wait, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dana from Chula Vista, California.
D-A-N-A?
D-A-N-N-A.
Oh. Hey, now, see, I have a friend named Dana, and she spells it D-A-N-A.
We've discussed this before.
We've discussed this at great length. I keep telling her her name should be Dana.
No, I have an identical twin named Dana, so that would be way too difficult if she pronounced it Dana.
Dana and Dana.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
What were they thinking? You have to wonder.
Well, you know, they didn't have sonograms back then, so they just, I popped out and then she popped out. So they had to think quick.
I know. I mean, how quick, though? What, they couldn't go to the next letter of the alphabet? Anyway, what's up?
All right, here's our question. Here we go. My husband and I are both teachers, and we're quitting our jobs and selling our house and putting the two kids in the car and traveling for a year through the U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
I love it already.
And the problem is we have a 98 Windstar that we're going to get rid of, and we want to know what we should get to live out of for a year.
Wow.
Well, how? I think you ought to motorize a Motel 6.
Jeez. How much money you got?
We can have whatever we need to spend. Whatever we don't spend on the car, we get to live on.
How many kids?
Two.
A two-year-old and a three-year-old.
Oh, man. I mean, do you think we're going to be able to swing an RV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could. We talked about Class A, Class C. I'm learning all this stuff. I don't know much about it. A truck with a trailer or a, yeah. What's it called?
Fifth wheel.
Fifth wheel. Yeah. One. Those are great.
Yeah, that's what we call my brother.
Yeah, so what do you think?
Well, the only thing I've driven out west, you know, through those rocky, windy mountain passes where you could, with a moment's distraction, plunge thousands of feet to your death.
And if you didn't die, you wish you had.
I've driven a conversion van, which is basically a General Motors van that they had put fancy seats in, very comfortable
How
seats.
How big? It's like a 15-passenger van?
Oh, no. It was extended.
10-passenger.
You know, well, it was four in this case.
Four passengers.
No, it was not the extra, extra long van, but it was more than enough.
To live in?
Not to live in.
Nah.
No, you got to stay in motels. You don't want to live in the thing. You really have
she
to live
want,
in it?
They want to live in it.
It could go either way. I mean, we don't know. We have no idea.
I'll tell you, when we were driving up some of those mountain roads, we were often following these RV things.
Yeah.
And while the thing that we were driving, the conversion van, was difficult to negotiate the turns with, I often found myself giggling that I wasn't driving one of those big RV motorhome things whose wheels often seemed to be riding on the shoulder and throwing up rocks and dust. And I thought how perilously close they were.
To the edge.
And they didn't even know it, but we did because we were behind them. So with that advice, I would say drive the skinniest car you can possibly get. Yeah, I'll tell you, the greatest safety you can get is to drive something that you feel comfortable driving.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, have you done the numbers? I mean, I have no idea. If you buy an RV and you live in it, how does that work out compared to buying a car that you drive around in and stay in Motel 6
right,
every
night?
Right,
the gas, that's true.
Camp
if we had
out
something that was, you know, fairly fuel efficient, then maybe it would work out okay. But
oh, I got exactly the vehicle for you.
Okay.
A Windstar. It's perfect.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, see, if you already own the Windstar, why complicate your life?
Well, that's why I'm wondering if you just go.
That Windstar, I think it's going to die. I mean, it's only a 98, but it's got 110,000 miles
on it. Oh, so you have to buy another one.
But
and in fact, in the year that you're gone, you will have put another 100,000 miles on the thing.
Well, that's true.
What are you doing this for anyway?
Well, we just, you know, we've got this whole gender equity thing. So one person's been staying home and one person's been working.
Yeah. Who would that be?
I stayed home the first 2 years with my daughter's three. So I just went back to work this year. So I'm working now and he's at home. He's stay-at-home dad this year. Next year it was going
and
to
he
be.
He wants out of that as soon as possible. So he's selling the house.
Actually,
right. If there's no home, you can't stay at home.
He doesn't want to go back to work. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's having a great time with the kids. So we're like, well, let's take a year off. live off the equity from the house and go have some fun with the kids before they get into school. So that's the deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our friends, Susan and Carmen, had a Dodge Caravan, and they traveled all over creation with this little pop-up thing behind their caravan. You ever seen these things?
Yeah.
When it's in the closed position, it's about 4 feet tall, and maybe, I don't know, 10 by whatever the width of a...
What, it sits on the roof?
No, it's on wheels behind you. Pull it
behind you. Oh, those things. And it opens up into a six-room house with a patio.
Exactly. And a pool. And you open this thing up, you turn a crank, and it lifts up so you can stand up in this thing, and there's enough sleeping arrangements here for 4, 5, 6, or 10 people. And it's got a little awning that comes out. I mean, it really does. It turns into a three-bedroom ranch. And then you turn the crank the other way, and the whole thing folds back up. And, of course, every place you have to leave something behind because you can never figure out how to get everything back in. But it had in it a stove and a fridge and the whole bit.
And bathroom. Does it have a bathroom
Didn't
in it?
Didn't have no stinking bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was the next best thing.
All right.
Yeah.
And wherever, you know, if you go to campgrounds, they have bathroom facilities in a lot of them.
Right.
Yeah, you have to do some homework here.
Okay.
I would love to hear from you every week or month.
Okay.
Just to find out. Yeah, I mean, you must be able to send us a picture once in a while with a little update.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we spent 3 nights in the desert dying of thirst. We were rescued by 3 guys on a camel. I mean, people would be interested in knowing how you did this.
Okay.
Because there must be lots of guys at jobs living in a life of quiet desperation, as we say, who would love to just pick up and go. And they would love to know... If you made it. So when we stop hearing from you, then we'll know that you didn't.
So you'll have to keep us posted for the whole year.
Okay.
Tell me, just as an afterthought here, your identical twin sister.
Yes.
She is nuts as you?
She's a poet in the Bay Area. And she's nuttier, actually.
She is?
Yeah. I'm the conservative teacher type, and she's the San Francisco poet type.
Yeah, but she lives in a house.
Yeah.
She's got a toilet.
She's got a toilet. Right. She's not out in some sagebrush with 6 rolls of toilet paper. No.
See you, Dana.
Hey, Dana.
Good luck.
I wish you the very best.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, she sounds like a lot of fun. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is John from Washington, Virginia, and you guys are definitely having too much fun.
I know.
From Washington, Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay. What's up?
Question involves a 1991 BMW 325 iX, which is the four-wheel drive version with an automatic transmission.
Oh, this was the first four-wheel drive they came out with.
And it didn't work, and they stopped making it.
Right, went from 88 to 91.
Yeah.
The question I've got for you is, would running this engine at a maximum of 3,000 RPMs for, say, 6 months to a year do any damage to the engine or transmission?
Certainly not. Why do you ask? What's behind this question, John?
It's a trick question.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Well, I have a 17-year-old son who's gotten a couple of speeding tickets in this car because he says he's, quote, addicted to speed.
And my
wife suggested a solution.
Dope slap.
Well, the solution was actually putting some wooden blocks under the accelerator pedal to limit how far you can push it down.
Oh.
So that's how it would limit the speed or the RPMs to about 3,000 RPMs.
Yeah. What happens if he's crossing a railroad track and the train's about to hit him
and he
needs to speed up?
Well, it does.
He won't be speeding anymore after that.
No, it definitely is taking care of the speeding.
Well, at 3,000 RPM in fifth gear, he can probably do 60 miles an hour,
It. It's 65. I took it out on a road test and took about 5 or 6 quarter-inch blocks, and and it took an inch and a half of blocks to keep the maximum speed on a level road at 65, and that was about 3,000 RPM.
Yeah, and how do you plan to fix these blocks? I mean, you're going to make them so that you can take them out when you drive the car, or this is strictly his car?
No, this is his car. And
he's going to screw them right to the gas pedal.
No, if you look at the morphology of the situation there, you've got the accelerator pedal, which is hinged on the bottom, and then there's a kickdown button about a third of the way up, on the incline of the pedal.
Yep.
And that acts as a perfect brace for these blocks, And what I've done is duct tape them together and then put a sheet metal screw into the floorboard so he can't move it.
Now, how long do you think it's going to be before he unscrews it? You know, you need... You know the screws they use in public toilets? You ever seen those things? Now, why anyone would want to steal a door from a public toilet, I don't know. But they use these funny kind of screws that can't be undone.
Or screws where the head breaks off when you tighten them.
Right. Well, those, you know, it's good. Interesting that he really, that hasn't come up, because I think he almost looks at this as a way to avoid problems.
Oh, so he's not a habitual speeder in that he... will go out of his way to undermine your efforts.
No, or he goes back on his moped.
Oh, then I think you did the right thing.
I guess so.
But you don't see any negatives as far as running it at a lower RPM and not taking it up to a higher RPM over a period of time.
No,
absolutely not. That thing will love 3,000 RPM, and the truth of the matter is all cars should have a governor of 3,000 RPM on them.
Or a lieutenant governor.
Or a lieutenant governor.
At least for kids that age, that's for sure.
For kids that age, an absolute necessity. You've done a wonderful thing, John, and you will patent it, and we'll make a million.
I expect to see this in Hemmerker Schlemmer next month.
The John Block.
No, this is my wife's suggestion.
What's her name? We'll name it for her.
Margaret.
Margaret. The Margaret Factor.
That's it.
Very good.
Good for her.
See you, John.
Take care.
Take
good
care.
Luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Seneca Lake Rump Steak, Sponge Cake, Milkshake, Bran Flake, Shake and Bake, is John Buzzy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hertz. Our caffeine addiction counselor is Bruno Moore. Our furnace repairman is Levon Coates. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pants.
Chip Pants.
Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our official spokesperson is Howie Vasev. Our big band leader is One and a Two. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the earmuff-clad sunbathers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1514, download other time-wasting episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, complete details on how to get rid of your old car without having to sell it.
Does this involve throwing the keys on the front seat, leaving it unlocked, and calling Cousin Nunzio's tip line?
Well, actually, no. It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, where you can donate your car and benefit your favorite local public radio station.
Details available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the host of Antiques Roadshow heaves Martha Washington's chamber pot at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.